Misfit Toys.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming babies, sippy seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, but Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, here, let me just turn down the Pearl Jam radio.
No.
Gotta turn it down, we're podcasting. My name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies. Coming to you from a rental car. What kind of car is this, Graham?
Doug, we're driving in a Chevy Cruze Blue. It's a Chevy's little sporty four-door. Good gas mileage and a nice trunk. Very nice trunk.
And satellite radio. So yes. I've been forced to listen to days on end of Pearl Jam radio on Sirius XM.
I'm forcing you for your own good.
It's Sunday, May 26th, 2 Oceans 13, as we are driving from Knoxville to Hashville on... I already said the date. My guest and driver of the rental car is Graham Elwood.
Hello.
Go ahead and do your plugs now.
Plug it out. How about...
Time's up.
What? That seems way too quick. Chris Mancini and myself will be at the Limestone Comedy Festival in Bloomington, June 6th through 8th. You're going to be doing a Comedy Film Nerds live recording. You will be there. You're doing a bunch of things.
Yeah, Benson Movie Interruption. We haven't released the title of the movie yet, but people have voted. They bought badges, and they'll I think they'll be delighted with the selection. And dining with Doug and Karen on Sunday, like kind of a lunch brunch kind of thing at the Comedy Attic. And oh, it was like a little kid being sick by the side of the road. That was gnarly. Where his parents or his car went.
He's just walking around vomiting along the freeway. We're on Vomit Highway to Nashville.
Oh, the weigh station's coming up. They probably wanted the kid to
dump some weight.
Yeah, they wanted him to meet his fight class. To get him down to... and I'm going to also be doing stand-up with Pete Holmes at the Buskirk Chumley two shows Saturday night. You can see Graham and Chris Mancini doing stand-up all over the place.
I'm going to be a guest on Jackie Cation's Dork Forest. Pete Holmes is going to be the Comedy Film Nerd guest. It's going to be fun to have by all. And then June 9th, Chris Mancini and myself will be in doing stand-up comedy routines in Louisville. That's all at my website, grahamelwood.com.
What's the name of the venue there in Louisville?
The Bard, like B-A-R-D, like Shakespeare.
Oh, okay, because that's where he got his start, right?
Yeah, he started in Louisville. Yep, that's right. That's exactly right. And then
it was originally called Much Ado About the Lou.
Doug Benson, ladies and gentlemen.
Yesterday was a fun-filled day for us here in Tennessee. Tennessee. Yes. Horseshoes. A game of horseshoes.
Oh, don't forget L.A. Podcast Festival, October 4th through 6th. Go to lapodfest.com.
How could we forget? You will not let us.
Ever.
We went to Dollywood.
Oh my God, Dollywood was so great.
Hooray for Dollywood. What a strange, delightful place.
It is ridiculously fun.
First you have to drive in there. It's located in Pigeon Forge, which is about 30 minutes east of Nashville. I mean, Knoxville. And then, once you get off the highway, then you have to go through this gauntlet. This tourist trap gauntlet of utter amazing bullshit.
15 miles of driving past
it's just all
as seen on TV stores and every
zip lines and indoor skydiving and putt-putt golf and
helicopter
little NASCAR
rides.
Track and some sort of building that's upside down and a Titanic that's crashed into an iceberg. And tons of ads for the Hatfield and McCoy
dinner show. Jesus.
Get off my land!
Hey, scandal back!
God damn it, I'm trying to eat.
You want more napkins?
Oh, thank you for giving me some napkins while you're in the middle of this feud.
Let me top off your iced tea. Now get off my lawn!
So, that's crazy. And then also the billboards for a place called Comedy Barn, which I'm shocked we've never played.
Yeah, how did we not get
get the gig? But the one of the billboards said that they had a mind-reading pig at the Comedy Barn.
Sounds great.
Sounds funny. And then another one said they had a talking dog. And we started riffing about how Pigeon Forge, the mayor, is that pig. He knew, and he always knew he was going to be mayor.
Yeah. Because
he could read everybody's minds.
Yeah.
And then the dog is the...
ousted police chief.
Yeah. And, you know, he's sad that he's not the police chief anymore because he really enjoyed taking a bite out of crime. And, of course, along that way, plenty of fireworks and porn.
Oh, my goodness.
One of them was called Sexy Stuff, S-T-U-F.
Couldn't afford the second F.
They needed it for the fireworks sign.
Oh, shit.
And then we saw several Christian places, but one of them, Christian Warehouse, had this big banner that said going out of business.
Yeah.
And I said, the Lord taketh away. Should be on that banner also, but...
And that was across the street from Sexy Stuff.
Yeah.
So you could get Jesus and porn all together.
So crazy. Then we get to Dollywood. And what Graham and I like to do is we like to go to amusement parks. We get there early, run to the best rides, and then ride them a bunch of times. And then when the lines start to build up and the place starts to get crowded, we go home.
Yeah.
We say, fuck it! And we get the hell out of there.
Well, especially that day because we had a 420 show.
Yeah, but we always... It's our MO. And so... We're running to try to get to a roller coaster, and we see this building that has a sign outside that implies that inside is an indoor roller coaster.
Right.
So that sounds fun. It's called, the ride is called Flaming Rage. Turns out it's just angry homosexuals picketing Dollywood.
For gay marriage.
No, it's called Blazing Fury. And I guess it was the first ride ever made.
Oh, God.
Because it was a former water ride. At Aaron the Beastly on Twitter tipped me off to that. And but even though it was a former water ride, it's always a weird ride. Because what is being depicted? Like it's kind of like Pirates of the Caribbean, but with hillbillies? Town is on fire?
There's a hillbilly town fire? I think.
And the hillbillies are all just kind of like, none of the figures move. They're just dummies.
Yeah.
With it looks like a fake beard has been put on these things. Like the mannequins are so embarrassed to be a part of the attraction that they're pretending, you know what I mean? Sure. It just looks like whenever somebody in a movie, you know, it's even got the things around the ears.
Like mannequin protection program.
Yes. They're hiding from... what's his name? They're hiding from... Why can't I think of his fucking name? Andrew McCarthy. They're hiding from Andrew McCarthy and Jonathan Silverman because they're tired of those guys taking them to the beach and pretending that they're not dead.
Oh, right. A weekend at Bernie's riff.
Yeah.
So good.
So then we went... So that ride was just weird. But little kids love it, and people are nostalgic for it that have been going there for years. As I would be. I go on some of the dumber, older rides at Disneyland just for, you know, just to reminisce about how they used to seem cool to me. And it has a couple of weird drops in it, but, like, looking back on it, it makes perfect sense that there used to be, like, waterfall drops.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, the whole thing is just kind of like, it's almost like they said, let's do Pirates of the Caribbean, but let's spend way less money. Let's try to buy the entire thing using coupons. Then we went on Tennessee Tornado, and it changed our world.
Right.
Our Dolly world changed with that, because that is a fucking sweet. Lots of loops.
Oh, crazy.
70 miles per hour.
Super fast.
Yeah, you go drop it into the ground at one point. Yeah, really, really cool ride. And then we went on the winner of the 2012 Best New Ride, according to somebody.
Golden Ticket.
Yeah, okay, whatever that is. The Flying Eagle.
That ride's amazing. That ride's amazing.
So cool. It's a dangler. Your feet dangle. There's like two people on each side of like an eagle's head. And then, you know,
super smooth.
A whole bunch of them. Really smooth ride. And just really, like, you really feel like you're just flying and you know, and doing what an eagle would do, which is, like, you know, dip, you know, like how when they're having sex, they plummet, and then they separate before they hit the ground. Yeah, that's how they do it. That's what I was told in school. I'm sure I'll have to do a corrections department thing about that.
Someone's going to email you.
Actually, yeah. Eagles...
what they really do is... but then the lines got too long after that, so we didn't go on Mystery Mine, which a lot of people had recommended. We didn't go on their wooden roller coaster, which, as much as I love roller coasters, wooden roller coasters are falling out of favor with me because they beat the shit out of you. They just, it's like, hey, you want to get punched for a few minutes in your sides and in your head? And, like, people have been hospitalized because of those. The Flying Eagle, the seats are so comfortable.
It's amazing.
Like, it's almost relaxing.
Yeah.
How, like, the bar doesn't come down. Like, the way he's got that weird thing that comes down on your chest that's all soft and, yeah. Like, it, you don't feel crushed in. Like, I always feel when they pull lap bars down on me that I feel, like, a little crushed in, you know?
Yeah.
And this was just a tremendous...
And the Dolly was singing the song.
Wonderful ride, yeah. And then as you're waiting in line, Dolly Parton's like, "Flying eagle, soaring through the sky, flying eagle, hope you don't die."
Yeah, that's... my God.
That's pretty awesome.
I was just bummed because...
Every ride when you're waiting in line at theme parks should have a theme song.
Sure.
Sung by a different famous person.
But this is her park. I really wanted the rides to be like...
You wanted
9-to-5 ride.
You wanted a 9-to-5 ride. You wanted a straight talk ride.
Yeah.
You wanted to visit a whorehouse.
Yes. I wanted, you know, you're like, as, you know, you're like, you're coming down some big dip or into a loop, and it's like, Jolene, Jolene, Jolene. Like, that's what I want.
That's what they should just call Mystery Mine Jolene.
Yeah.
And just play that the whole time.
Dabney Coleman comes out of the 9-to-5 ride, then Lily Tomlin poisons it.
And in case you haven't figured it out, it's a really long drive today, so this is going to be a long episode. Yes. Yeah, we're going to just talk your ear off. Then we did a super fun 420 show at Side Splitters in Knoxville.
That was fun.
And we played the Leonard Maltin game at the end, but I messed up and hit the wrong button on my phone and didn't record the whole thing. So I'd like to play for you now part of... what happened yesterday, and we will listen to it also along with you, and then we'll be back to tell you more about what happened and what I missed. What do you guys say we play a little Leonard Maltin game? Woo! Let's play Leonard Maltin, Knoxville. Are you making a Vine, Graham?
Yeah, I just took some photos.
Oh, God, he's always vining and photographing.
Whitey.
It's fun to show people our exploits like we do in the greatest movie ever rolled. You can get chill.com/420 for the amazing price of $74.95.
That's expensive.
It's almost $75, but we said, let's make it $74.95. Won't seem so bad.
Someone here thinks you're serious.
I think most of them do.
Oh, shit, that's a monster.
Did you guys see the movie?
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah, three people
went
and got it for the original price, and the rest of you are going to have to pay $74.95. You're going to love it. Am I bad at selling my own shit?
Yeah, you're not good at marketing. You're not good at marketing, Doug.
I'm terrible at marketing. I always get the cart with the wheel that's all funky and wobbling all over the place. So it's very hard to negotiate the sharp turns from frozen to cheese that's slightly frozen.
What is happening?
Right? Isn't the freeze in the section not as cold? Because it's cheese?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I don't know, but there's been a minute and 30 seconds of it, and the listeners of the podcast are going to eat it up. They're going to be, keep talking, I have a boring desk job, and no matter how much bullshit spews out of your mouth, it's more interesting than the light radio station that they have on here in the office. I hit a chord. It's fucking true. Just anything in my ears instead of life.
anything.
Get this dumb office noise out of my ears. Get this dumb commute out of my ears. People on the train on their phones.
I told you.
We didn't even pick a contestant yet.
Yeah, we were just babbling on, really.
So, do you remember any of the name tags?
Yeah, there was some really good name tags. So one guy had a name tag where he put my head on the new Superman's body, and it said Gram of Steel.
That one was amazing.
It's really just photo. It was really good Photoshop. He just found the perfect picture of my head and just put it right on top.
Yeah, so much of what, when people do that sort of thing, they just grab a picture of your head and stick it on a body, and it's like, sometimes it looks cool, sometimes it looks ridiculous. And with this one, looked like it was just really, you're really in the poster.
Yeah.
And you took a picture of it?
Yes, I did.
Did you tweet it?
I have not tweeted it, but
okay,
I will.
But tweet it, so people go into Graham's feed and find that picture, because it's amazing.
And then I took a picture of the, and then, you know, some people had some gluten-free cookies, which were delightful. I have them in my bag. And then one guy had a Millennium Falcon, which was great. And then the guy that we picked had a giant poster of my head, and it was, what was the movie? It was like, oh man, Gram of Thrones or something? No, it wasn't. Oh, no, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I remember the guy's name was Andrew St. Charles.
Yeah, but he just had a giant photo of me on a...
Yeah, and references to you, and then at the bottom it said written and directed by Andrew St. Charles.
Right.
And it was really well done.
Yes.
And very large. And he was sitting right up front.
Right, bro.
His name on Twitter is Saint_Sleep. And, he also is wearing a shirt that said Cool Beans on it, because that's a bar that he owns in Knoxville. So go to Cool Beans and say hi to Andrew St. Charles.
Yes.
Who I think sometimes I call Charles St. Andrews.
And then you called me Graham St. Elmo or something. And I started doing that like that was my morning radio name.
Oh, boy.
I was like, Graham St. Elmo to the bar names.
It was really fun.
Yeah,
it was
fun.
It was that pothole wasn't fun. But it was a fun round of Leonard Maltin, and the categories. Let me dial it up and see if I can successfully do it without stopping this recording. The categories were all, I had picked three different birthday people: Sir Ian McKellen, Sir Mike Myers, and Sir Anne Heche. All celebrated a birthday yesterday. And Andrew St. Charles picked Mike Myers. And then I said from 1998, two stars, a dreary drama. And I also said that various celebrities appear as themselves. And, that it features a canny performance. Did I say that?
Yeah.
And then Leonard listed 13 names. Andrew St. Charles opened with the very smart, I always encourage this in every player, be they a comedian or an actor or a guest from the audience, just say all the names if you're not sure yet.
Yeah.
Put it on the other person to make a move. So he did. And then you went 11, maybe?
I think 10.
10. And then he went 9 or 8? 8, maybe?
Yeah, I think he went like...
Yeah. Or did he make a jump? Did he go 5 or something?
He went to 7, and then I came back, I think it was 6, and then he said 5, I think, and then I said name it.
Okay. And then I said... are we sure? Did I give names? I don't remember reading these names.
No, you... No.
He said 0.
Yeah, then he just went. Because you said we were out of time, so he had won anyway. You're like, you get the prize.
You get to win anyway. And he said, okay, I'll say 0.
So I just say 0 names.
And so we didn't say any names. And then he made a squinchy face like he wasn't sure. And he said, 56?
Yeah. Studio 56.
Oh, that was so great. Because he's been kicking himself ever since.
he even wrote to me on Twitter that he blames it on Billy Crystal and Barry Pepper.
Because what, didn't they do a movie called 56?
60.
Oh, 60. So what? So how's that their fault?
Yeah. That was a made-for-HBO movie about the Babe Ruth home run chase.
Yeah. So, any Huzel.
61, I think it was.
Yeah, it wasn't 60. 62?
It was 61? 61, I think. I can't remember.
58?
No, it wasn't in the 50s.
57. No, that was the Hines movie.
You're an asshole.
Yeah, I remember I didn't read these names because the first name out of the gate is Ron Jeremy. And then Daniel Lapine, Michael York, Lauren Hutton, blah, blah, blah. But the movie, yeah, it's called 54. And Leonard is right. It is a dreary drama.
It's a double D. Stay away from the double D. And, he got the prizes anyway because we ran out of time. And the prize bag included not only Graham's Palm Strike Dance Party and a t-shirt from the nice folks at High Times Magazine, but also, I was so proud of this that I found it while we were there, a hacky sack with Dollywood written on it.
Yeah, I was wearing, you bought the Dollywood hacky sack. And then I was wearing a Dollywood tie-dye shirt that is the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen.
So, does that mean the people at Dollywood are hip to the fact that, you know, people are stoners and they'll be attracted to those items? Or is it more of a nod to just hippies like tie-dye and hacky sacks and certainly a lot of people with long hair? They work at Dollywood. Like, I've never been to an amusement park where there were so many beards on the people that are strapping you into the ride. Not beards like my stupid beard, like a long-ass ZZ Top beard on the guy,
That guy
putting you in the seat.
That guy was Tennessee Tornado, and he had a Civil War hat on.
But I thought it'd be fun here in the car to just play like a one-man version of a Leonard Maltin game where the people listening can sort of play against you with the two birthday categories because their birthdays are no more. But since I bothered to load them up, it might be fun to see how you do or how you might have done against audience members. This one in the Ian McKellen category is from 2007, 3 stars. Leonard says it's based on a book, and he also says that the movie does a good job of introducing us to an unfamiliar world, and he also says it won the Oscar for visual effects.
Gee.
And he lists 17 names. How many names would you have said you could get it in? Not with the bidding back and forth. Like, at what point, how low would you take it and still feel confident that you could get the correct answer?
It's just a question of which one is it. I'm just trying to think.
This is really fun listening.
Yeah.
Listening, you think. Just pick a number and I'll read those names and then you can guess what the movie is.
7.
Okay. Kristen Scott Thomas, Kathy Bates, Freddie Highmore, Ian McShane, Ian McKellen, Magda Shubensky, and Jim Carter? What movie is it now? Guy who thought he had it dialed in.
Wow. Visual effects. Ian McKellen.
You're never going to get it. In a million years.
Kathy Bates?
But that's how much time I'm going to give you. A million years.
Wow, that is messed up. Apt pupil. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll give you one more clue.
Okay.
A lot of times Leonard will list the actors that appear on screen first, and then at the bottom, several of those names are listed as voices that were involved in the movie. So some of those people at the bottom of the 7 names were voices in this film from 2007 that won the Oscar for visual effects. And I'm telling you, I'm not judging you, Graham, because given all that information, I probably also wouldn't get this right.
Well, the only thing I can think of is it's the Lord of the Rings, the second one, 2 Towers.
No, Kathy Bates has never had anything. No one that speaks with this.
I don't know then I guess it would have to be, unless it's got to be, but Harry Potter, she's not in that either. What the fuck won visual effects in 2007?
Dude, you're going to be like, it's like, I mean, that's the thing about the Oscars in general, is a lot of those kinds of categories, it's easy to forget.
Right.
But even at the time, I was like, what? The effects, I guess the effects are good in it, but I would imagine there was something else that was a more compelling movie that had great effects that same year. The movie is called The Golden Compass.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's the first book in Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials trilogy called Northern Lights. Why didn't they call the movie Northern Lights? Like, what kind of
The Golden
dumb move is that?
Never saw it and had no, and just went ha during the Oscars and then on to the next category.
Yeah. Let's go on to the next category.
Let's do it.
Anne Heche. 3 stars for this Anne Heche movie from 2011. He says it's about someone who is naive, almost childlike. And he says that the film is filled with accelerated life lessons. And the result is both funny and disarming. And he gives it 3 stars. That's about right. I might go a little higher. And he lists 11 names.
2011.
With Anne Heche.
I guess I'll go 6 names.
Okay, here's your 6 names. Mike O'Malley. Of course, from yesteryear. Rob Corddry. Children's Hospital. Thomas Lennon. Reno 911. Alias Shawcat. Arrested Development. With a shit ton of new episodes. 15, is it? Available as we speak. I'm not going to say where, though. Kurtwood Smith from RoboCop. And Steven Root from Office Space. Radio, Joe Rogan.
2011.
Powerful.
3 stars. Steven Root.
Those are all awesome people.
I know. It's a fucking great cast. What movie were they all in together that had all these life lessons in it?
Holy shit, Mike O'Malley was great on the last season of Justified. Are you caught up on Justified?
No.
Patton Oswalt's in it a ton.
Oh, wow.
And Mike O'Malley, and they're both great.
Jesus. I can hear the listeners screaming. Yeah.
Well, that's how you take people down when we play against the audience, is you often make them name it. And I think that's what would have happened here. Any guesses? Can you even think of an Anne Heche movie?
Wow, I'm trying to remember the last thing she was in.
She's done a lot of TV of late.
Yeah, she's been on TV.
She was in the show about the guy who walks to the river and takes off his pants and jumps in.
Yeah.
Some people call it Hung. I call it the show about the guy who walks down the river and takes off his pants and jumps in.
That's so much easier.
Because it bothered me having to see that every time. I didn't watch every episode of that show, but when I'd watch it, I'd be like, why is this the opening credits? Cedar Rapids.
Fuck me.
With Ed Helms, John C. Reilly, and Anne Heche.
Movie. That's right.
And Isaiah Whitlock Jr.
Shit.
John C. Reilly should have been nominated for an Oscar for that movie. He is so good in it.
That movie's awesome. Fuck. That's right. She was great in that.
Yeah, she looked great in that. There's a scene where she gets in the swimming pool in her underwear, and during the whole scene, John C. Reilly's got a trash can on his head. It's pretty funny.
And, like, her and Vera Farmiga both played those, like, traveling businesswomen so well. Vera Farmiga did it in Up.
In the Air.
Up in the Air. Oh, man.
She was also great in Up as the traveling businesswoman who hitched a ride in the house with all the balloons.
Yes.
Yeah, so,
Cedar Rapids, I saw that. God damn it.
Doug Dixit, Cedar Rapids. Check it out. Good job, Graham. You can't even win when you're the only player.
I mean, play, excuse me. And then, boy, what a day yesterday. After a delightful meet and greet with very nice folks in Knoxville, then we went and watched UFC, UFC, yes. UFC. And we were exhausted and we're like questioning whether or not we were going to be able to stay up till, you know, midnight or so to watch the, and boy, are we glad we did. Those were some...
The undercards that were just on FX that started at 8 o'clock Eastern time. So there was 8 to 10 is undercard fights, and they all went the distance.
Yeah, so they're all just long fights. Some entertaining, some not as much.
Some not as much. So then...
But just exhausting in general.
The pay-per-view starts at 10. So now we've been up all day. We went to Dollywood. We did a show. It's 10 o'clock. And we're like, I don't know. And then it was just like one first round knockout. It was just amazing fights.
Everybody just went after it. Because even those first round knockouts, in some cases, the guy who got knocked out looked like he was going to win seconds before.
Oh, it was nuts. And there was some great fight. I mean, like, the Gray Maynard is so amazing, and then the guy, I forget the name of the guy he lost to, but that guy is now going to, Dana White, I was reading online, Dana White said that, because I think that's the lightweight category, Benson Henderson is the lightweight champ, and that guy's like, gets a TJ, fuck, I'm blanking on his name, TJ, he's going to fight Benson Henderson now for the lightweight title. And that's going to be an amazing fight, because Gray Maynard is amazing, and this guy just lit him up. God, that was such a good fight. And then the Junior Dos Santos Mark Hunt fight was ridiculous.
Yeah, that Mark Hunt guy is just a fucking tree stump.
Ugh.
A giant redwood of a man, and seems like it'd be very hard to knock him down. And that dude would just pop him and put him on the ground several times.
And then he finally
during the fight, but he just kept getting back up.
He kept getting back up, and then finally. Junior Dos Santos spinning round kick. He kicks him in the head. That knocks
like
him.
Like a helicopter blade to the forehead.
To the forehead. He goes down and then drills his head into the ground with a fist, and that was it. And then the title fight, Cain Velasquez defends his title fight against Bigfoot Silva. And I want to kind of read more, hear more, like what Joe Rogan and them thought. It seemed to us that the ref called it a little early.
Yeah, Bigfoot was like starting to get back up. As soon as the ref called it, he was like shaking his head like, why did you do that?
Yeah.
You know, totally reminded me of Fessick in Princess Bride. The way he was shaking his head at Wallace Shawn.
It's totally like Fessick.
It was totally like that. Thank you.
Princess Bride and the UFC are so similar.
They are, because he was a fighter. Andre the Giant. Thank you to all the nice folks at Buffalo Wild Wings, where we enjoyed the fights. It was the Wolf Creek location, Tiger Valley, Weasel River.
It was Weasel River.
It had some sort of...
It was up on Weasel River.
It had some sort of name.
Turkey Creek?
Turkey Creek.
Oh,
something.
Worst. Cedar Rapids.
No.
Cedar Rapids. I got that category right.
That's
boom.
Wrong.
And Aish. I'm the winner.
Now it's time for Tweet Relief, tweets about movies, at our buddy at Mark A.G., A-G-E-E, no relation to Steve A.G.
Comic from Texas.
Comic that we met in Texas, and now he lives out in Los Angeles. He tweeted, just plugged Fast and Furious 6 looks awesome into WebMD, and it diagnosed me with a massive head injury. This has been Tweet Relief. Tweets about movies. Tomorrow, Monday, Memorial Day, come see me and Graham Elwood and two other guests in a Douglas Movies taping at Zany's in Nashville at 420, where we are heading to do a 420 stand-up show today. And there's also a few ticks left for my 420 stand-up show at Comedy Bar in Toronto on Saturday, June 1st, and for my show on Sunday, June 2nd at Helium in Buffalo, and to the Y at 420. Thanks, Graham.
Thank you.
And as always, going on raging flames of fury when there are other actual good rides that we didn't get to at Dollywood is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves blue. Oh,
Hi there, I'm Jimmy Pardo, host of the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. It's a show that's been described as hanging out with friends you never knew you needed. Well, each week I get together with my co-host, Matt Belknap, and great people from the worlds of comedy, Broadway, music, TV, movies. You get the point. Hey, Matt, give me some examples of who we've had on.
Oh my God, Jimmy, we've had comedy legends like Conan O'Brien, Amy Poehler, and Sarah Silverman, Hollywood royalty like Rob Reiner and John Hamm, and members of classic rock bands like Styx and Kiss.
Hey, Never Not Funny's been around since 2006, so we must be doing something right. So why not join our nonsense each week? Never Not Funny,
the fastest hour in podcasting.
Hi, I'm stand-up comedian and sex symbol Tig Notaro.
And I'm actor and writer Cheryl Hines.
Before Cheryl and I got into the big business of podcasting together, we were just simply friends.
And we're still friends. But now we talk about a different documentary every week on our podcast, Tig and Cheryl, True Story. We have covered everything from true crime to Britney Spears to My Octopus Teacher. I'm just laughing because that My Octopus Teacher was crazy.
I found it more interesting that his son now had a stepmother, and it was an octopus. We also, Cheryl, tell stories, go on tangents, and generally make our sides hurt laughing at each other.
So whether you love documentaries or just want to hear us slowly lose our minds, check out Tig and Cheryl True Story wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, cool.